1 Corinthians 12:12 through 14. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hey, this is my first time up here. I'm a little nervous. Thank you. Thanks. So I'd just like to pray for us leading into it, just to calm my nerves and bring us all together. So if you'll join me. God, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to spend a moment together in a place where we're all caring for each other and feeling your love and able to pass that on to each other. I just thank you for the kindness you show us and the love you show us every day. And I just pray that that love continues from today through the rest of the week, and that we are especially aware of it and the way that you're working in our lives. In your son's name I pray, amen. So a couple of Sundays ago, I wasn't here. I had the day off, which is kind of rare that I'll take a day off. Usually I'm downstairs, so if you don't see me sitting over here, I'm downstairs. But on this day off, my wife and I, we went to the farmer's market. And while we were there, can anyone guess what I was thinking about? If you're thinking Mosaic, you are correct. I was thinking about being here, and I was thinking about who we are as a church. For a second, I want you to imagine walking through this farmer's market, that you're there. So it's a late morning. It's beautiful. It's sunny out. You've probably just had breakfast or brunch, or maybe you have a coffee in your hand as you're walking. You step foot into the farmer's market, and even though you've just gotten there, you can feel this ease come over you, this peace. Even as the summer heat starts to make itself known, you feel peace. Even as everyone in the neighborhood starts to join you, and people from other parts of the city join you, and there's a crowd, and you may not like crowds. Sometimes I'm not the biggest fan of crowds, but you still feel peace come over you. And so you take a few steps in, and you notice this farmer setting out his small fruit samples, and his skin is creased from years of sun and hard work. And then you take a few steps further. Maybe you grab a piece of the samples, maybe you don't, but you keep going. And you see this tent full of bakers, and they're all organized and in unison. And they're moving so fast to help each customer, and never rushing them, never making them feel like their indecision at which pastry to get is causing any kind of delay or inconvenience. And so as you're walking past, you make sure to look at the pastry you want to buy, and you come back, you're going to come back later, but you keep going. And you start to hear this sound coming from the corner of the farmer's market, and it's a singular musician patiently strumming their guitar for this excited group of kids. And it's in that moment you realize that everyone, yourself included, the kids, the crowd, the farmer, the musician, the bakers, are all coming together to form such a beautiful slice of life. But what if that beautiful slice of life was disrupted? What if chaos descended upon this farmer's market? Like, what if the farmer, proud but tired, starts to get so impatient with this long line forming from this baker's tent that's crowding into his space? Or what if these team of bakers that are organized and in unison fall out of step with one another? What if their frustrations lead them to being aware of just how loud this music is coming from this small musician? In that one moment, in the blink of an eye, this beautiful example of a small community in a big city is lost. It's lost because of self-interest or greed or a lack of awareness of others. And this struggle that I was thinking about, as it's all playing out in my head as I'm walking through this farmer's market, it got me thinking about the early church in the Roman city of Corinth. And it made me think of the struggles that they faced, that this beautiful community has this abundance of spiritual gifts. They are not lacking in it. It's diverse and incredible. And yet with that comes a lot of arguing. They started to figure out which gifts they had and started to think to themselves, this is the most important gift. And they would argue their case to everyone. And so as they did that, they forgot what brought them together, their source of unity, and that's their shared faith in Jesus. Paul wrote many letters to this church. And in 1 Corinthians, he's writing this letter specifically to remind them of their origin. He's telling them where they've started from and that it's not a singular gift or talent, but that it's in the loving sacrifice of Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of the world. And so he spends the whole time reminding them of this. And in chapter 11, he brings them to the Last Supper. He brings their attention to this because he questions their integrity. He questions how much they care about the Last Supper when they would rather enjoy their own meals than open up their tables and share it with others. He tells them that they couldn't care less about this powerful message, these powerful words that Jesus shares on the very night that he was betrayed. The night that he gives the two simplest of elements of bread and wine, so much power. He turns them into a testament of a love that's so transcendent that it overcomes all barriers. This is the essence of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, to remind them of this. In the future, we're about to learn about this analogy that Paul gives, and he uses the human body because the human body thrives on collaboration, and so do we as the church. These spiritual gifts that this community is blessed with, that the church is blessed with, are meant to build us up and not tear us apart, to remind us that we are one body in Christ. So in 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 3, I'm just going to briefly bring us back to the beginning of this letter. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important because this is a declaration of that shared identity. Paul is telling them, this is who you are. And he doesn't open this letter by scolding them or telling them just how badly they're messing this beautiful thing up that God created. Instead, he's acknowledging each and every one of them and their place in God's design. He's not picking who to talk to based on their talent or their gifting, their wealth, or their status. Instead, he's calling them all together as the church. And he even says, they're sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be his people, setting them apart. So imagine this church at this time. It's an early church. They're located in the Roman city of Corinth, and it's experiencing a population boom as people from all over the Roman Empire are rushing there to establish themselves in this thriving trade center that's located right in the heart of the Mediterranean. Everyone that's coming together is bringing their own cultures, their own worldviews, their own traditions. And that creates this melting pot, and it's beautiful, but it can also boil over and cause chaos. So Paul, in this letter, reminds them that their connection to each other lies in their shared faith. That the church is being called to remember that they're one body, united by the cross, even as they navigate this increasingly complex life in this growing and diverse city. Now we're finally going to get to 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. I'm going to talk a bit more than this, but we'll start with these verses. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. This is Paul's analogy of the human body. And the human body is this complex organism made up of countless parts, each with their own unique function. But each part, regardless of perceived importance of it, they are all vital to the well-being of the whole. The body thrives on the diversity of these parts, that they are not the same. And we do too, as the church. The important thing in this is that Paul's dispelling this misconception that unity requires uniformity. Instead, he's letting us know that when we come together, it becomes a beautiful thing, as long as we embrace that diversity. There's this art style called pointillism, and it basically hinges on the scientific rule of color theory. And color theory is the impact of one color on another and how they interact. And this style calls its artists to bring all these diverse colors together, which is essential to this style, brings them all together in harmony with one another so as to communicate a larger and deeper, more profound meaning to the viewers. The very complex diversity of all these colors interacting with one another becomes the strength of this art style. In verse 13, it says, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." This is Paul telling us that when the Spirit poured out onto us, we had a shared experience, and this shared experience transcends all earthly divisions. That this power from the Holy Spirit should be, and could be, and will be powerful enough to overcome all man-made barriers that's happening in this community. I want to take us to Acts 10 briefly. We find ourselves in a Roman centurion's house, Cornelius, and he just has this vision. Because of his good deeds, an angel asks him to go find the apostle Peter and bring him back. And so Cornelius asks his men to go find Peter. And on the way back to that house, Peter has a vision of his own. And he sees this diverse group of four-legged animals. And they're all laid out before him on this white sheet. And he hears this voice, this command, telling him to get up, kill, and eat. And Peter's like, "No, hold up, that's not me. I don't eat these unclean things." And this voice rings out again and tells him, like, "What are you doing? How dare you call what I've made clean unclean? Get up, kill, and eat." And so when Peter gets to Cornelius' house, he tells this to the gathering crowd. He tells this to Cornelius. And in Acts 10, verse 44, it says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message." This was a moment where divine revelation changed not just Peter, but Cornelius and this crowd. They all had this realization that God's love extends to all people. The Holy Spirit is the true binder in Christ, the bringing of all of us together into one beautiful whole. God's love fosters this sense of unity within community, and it grows us in appreciation of each part of this community so that we can value everyone. Bringing us back into 1 Corinthians 12, 15 through 26. "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are presentable or unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put this body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Every time I read this, verse 21 sticks out to me. And it sticks out to me because it's this wild idea that these eyes that can see so much but not touch anything would tell a hand that could touch so much that I don't need you. Like, that's crazy. Even as we move on from the idea of these body parts talking to each other, just that simple notion is even more wild. The beauty in this analogy that Paul gives us and gives the church is that it comes from the human body's need for harmony of all its parts, that each member is crucial if the body wants to operate effectively. It's about interdependence, not a hierarchy of importance. A healthy human body thrives, truly thrives, on the collaboration of its diverse parts. This is true for the church as well. A focus on a singular gift, no matter how important or how great that singular gift is, disrupts the beauty that the diverse gifts have to offer the world. Every week, laundry comes up, right? Like, we all have to do laundry, and with clean clothes comes the need to put them away. And if anyone is like me, you procrastinate. And some say, I'm still procrastinating this week. And I pay the price for it. As I walked into my room a couple of days ago, my big toe found something solid. And in that moment, I thought I rebroke it. But at least this time, it would just be one big toe. I'll tell you guys this story later. But that's what went through my mind. But also, my whole body shared in this moment of pain that my big toe experienced. And it reminded me that God ensures all parts of the body, regardless of their perceived importance, like a big toe, that we are all together and we're all cared for. And this is the truth that Paul's telling us here. Paul's telling us that we should be striving and pursuing a community where each person feels valued and supported and a part of something bigger. This is important because this is the marker of individual spiritual maturity, that you grow in the appreciation of the church as one body in Christ. So moving on to verses 27 through 31. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. This is Paul telling us that each member of the church is vital to the church. That it's not a competition of gifts. Instead, it's a collaboration for the well-being of the whole. Imagine a healthy body in action. Think of the potluck we had a couple weeks ago, right? It took people with the spiritual gifts of foresight and organization to coordinate that whole event for everyone else. Or think of the people who welcomed you in the doors. Their gifts of hospitality and encouragement to create a warm and inviting environment for all of us. These diverse gifts were motivated by love, and in that they came together in a beautiful harmony, an honest testament to God's love for all of us. This is an important moment And I've said that a lot, but I truly mean it right here. Like, I don't want us to move past this point too quickly or to forget about it. Like, if you guys think of come away with this, with just any one point from this day, please let it be this. This isn't Paul advocating that we stop pursuing the development of our spiritual gifts in favor of the most excellent way, in the favor of love, but instead he's asking us to develop spiritual gift and love in tandem, together with one another. We should be striving for love to be the guiding force, ensuring that our spiritual gifts are used for the building up of the church and not just for personal gain. And so, how do we apply this to Mosaic? How do we apply this collectively and individually? I want to invite all of us this week to take a moment of quiet introspection, to find a space and time where you can sit and ask yourself some questions. I want us to ask ourselves, what defines my sense of belonging in the church? How can I cultivate a deeper sense of belonging rooted solely in my shared identity with fellow believers in Christ? Because the church is not a place of competition. The church is a family, a body, rooted in feeling valued and loved as a part of Christ. I want us to think of our spiritual gifts and the way we use them as outward expressions of God's love to the world. I want us to ask ourselves a few more questions. I want us to ask ourselves, how have I used my spiritual gifts in the past? Has there been a focus on personal recognition? Or have I used them with the spirit of humility and love, seeking to build up the body of Christ? As you think through this, as you ask yourself these questions, remember to let love be your guide. Let your gifts become a source of strength and encouragement to others. Our ultimate goal with our spiritual gifts are to glorify God and build up the church as one body united in Christ, where everyone feels loved, valued, and supported. That is the most crucial aspect of this. So, remember that the Holy Spirit equips each of us according to his purpose. As we move forward, let's move in unity with one another. Embracing this approach, we can create a church community that is truly a living body of Christ, diverse yet unified. Remember, unity does not require uniformity. We are working together to glorify God and serve others. So it's in this spirit of unity and love that I want to invite us to take communion. As we reflect on the body and the blood of Christ, I want us to think about the powerful message of the Last Supper. I want us to think of this unity and love that God gives us and brings us all together. And if you will, join me in prayer. God, I just want to thank you for this safe space to grow an awareness of you and who you're making us to be. Ask for your help in finding time where we can be quiet and ask these questions. Ask that you bring peace to what could be a busy week, full of distractions, to bring us into your presence so that we can ask ourselves these very important questions of how we can glorify you and serve everyone around us. In your son's name I pray, amen.